I'm going to teach a few lessons on life in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And it's not something, you know, I think sometimes it's not taught enough in church so we understand what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. You know, you have to be, you know, just like your soul needs to be educated and developed, which it does. We go to school, we live life. Our soul is developed and trained and educated. So is your spirit. And your spirit, man, needs to be developed. It needs to be educated. It needs to be trained so that you can walk in the Spirit. So that you live, when we say walking in the Spirit, you're living a Spirit-led life. You're living what? Out of your spirit and not your soul. Because the spirit man is the hidden man, is the real man, not your soul. And we are tripart. That's what Genesis 1:26 says. We're made in the image and likeness of God. John 4:24, God is a spirit. We're made in his image and likeness. That means we are, the real me is the spirit. And we need to learn to live out of our spirit. And we're growing. All of us are at different levels. We're growing. The minute you got born again, you became a new person in Christ. Your spirit became alive. It became redeemed. Now you've got him living inside of you by his spirit. And we need to learn how to walk in the spirit, how to live in the spirit. That's life in the spirit. Because this is the advantage that we have. We've been raised, what is Ephesians chapter 2? We've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. And I'm going to read some things. This was written in 1932. He gets into the detail. What does that actually mean? Where is our place of authority? Where is it? Our real place of authority is seated in heavenly places, in Christ. And he said the reason the church, the reason we're not seeing the results in the church is because we're not living and walking in the Spirit. We don't really know. We haven't developed our spirit enough to the place where we're actually walking and living a life in the Spirit, living from that place of authority. Hey, we're all there. We all need to grow in that. And he said our apprehension and comprehension of that is low. And when your apprehension and comprehension is low, you don't exercise it. You go, hey, what's the big deal? See, but if you know what you have and you know what authority you have, you view things differently. You look at things differently. You will not tolerate things in your family. You won't tolerate things in your body. You won't tolerate things in your city. You won't tolerate things in the nation. It's not just self anymore. It's I'm a co-laborer with Christ. See? And so this all living in the Spirit, yes, it's new for some of us, and it needs to be developed, just like our soul needs to be developed. And the way you develop that is you've got to meditate on it. You've got to think about it. You've got to get up every day. See, I'm learning to do this. You get up every day and you take your place in your authority. You take your place of authority. Billy Brim teaches this. She does with her prayer school live. She does it every week. She said, I get up every day and I read Ephesians, the first chapter, 1 and 2, and I take my place of authority in heavenly places. I take it. I confess it. I begin to say who I am. And I walk in that. I walk in it. And I begin to exercise that. And what is that doing? You're fellowshipping with the Word. You're fellowshipping. You're abiding in the vine. That's what John 15, right? If I don't abide in the vine, I can't do anything. So I've got to this. What did Jesus do? Jesus did this. He fellowshipped with the Father, and he did nothing unless he was shown or instructed to do. He said, I don't do anything of myself except the Father show me. And that's us. We need to learn this. See, we need to learn how to flow with his will in our life. You know? So, anyways, this just kind of what's been stirring in my heart. And I said, you know what? We need to learn a little more. We need to just feed upon this, living in the Spirit, life in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And a lot of times, churches that don't teach it, you know, or it's not taught enough, it sounds far-fetched, or somebody might say spooky, ooh, you know. No, this is our life. I mean, what does Galatians, let's turn over and start here. Well, we already start. We started already. But turn to Galatians chapter 5, and what does it say here? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. See, when we have a problem walking in the Spirit, sometimes it's because we might be carnally minded or fleshly minded, you know. And I don't mean that in a crude way. I just mean that when I say carnal, I mean we're just so interested about things in life and ourselves and our stuff that's carnal. And we're not thinking spiritual things, see? But what is Galatians 5:16? It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Now, let me read this in the Passion Translation. Well, I'm going to read it in two others, the New Living Translation and then the Passion Translation. The New Living Translation says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." See, this is walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. We need to let him guide our lives. Then it says, "Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." See, when we let him guide our lives, it helps us to control those passions. Now, the Passion Translation, it says, "As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and the power of the Holy Spirit," listen to this, it says, "you will abandon the cravings of your self-life." Isn't that a great way of putting it? When we let me read that again in the Passion Translation, Galatians 5:16. "As you yield," say yield. See, it's not just listening. But when I hear, and then I yield freely. It says, I yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. So a lot of times, you know, when the Holy Spirit, can you just imagine Jesus had the intimacy he had with the Father, and the Father told him to do something, he's yielded, and he goes, "No, I don't want to do that." See, no matter what it was. And so it's the same thing for us. When we're yielded fully to the Holy Spirit, and then he's free to do what? We're listening. You know, I was thinking about this. Reverend Hockaday was sharing this as an example, and I thought it was a good example. He was talking about being aware. You know, when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, that means we're aware of Him. If I'm yielded to something or someone, I'm aware of it. See? If you yield to pressure, you're aware of it, aren't you? If you yield to fear, you're aware of it. And so it's the same thing. He said, you know, when I go into the kitchen, he said, my wife will say, get out of my kitchen. And he said, I'm only kidding. You know, he was kidding. But he said, when I go into the kitchen and she's working, he said, I'm aware of her. And he said, I'm aware and I'm paying attention. I'm listening. Even though they may not be talking, I'm aware. I'm listening if there's a conversation. He said, how many of us are aware of the Holy Spirit and listening? We can be busy. You know, we're all, our plates are full, we're busy, we're buzzing through the day, but are you aware of Him? Because He's living in you 24/7. You know, it's not like, hey, can you give me some space? He's with you. He's there. And so it's that being yielded fully, living in the Spirit, part of it is being aware. I'm aware of Him. I'm listening. I'm yielded fully to Him so that when I am, the cravings of this self life, we abandon it. It's no longer I that live, but Christ now who lives in me and works through me. I have fellowship with Him. I'm yielded to Him. See, and if you are so tuned into a self life, talking about abandoning that can be uncomfortable. It can be very uncomfortable because now if the Holy Spirit gets into your business and said, do this, you go, I don't want to do that. What about this, my stuff and my things and my life? So that's what I'm talking about, that the more we yield to Him fully and we walk in the Spirit, what does the Scripture say? Perfect love casts out fear. So the fear of me letting go of my life and my things and myself, I don't have fear because I know who's in me, who's leading me. He said, what does He say? He said, everything He does, it's for our good. So whatever He leads us, we've got to then, if it's the Holy Spirit leading you, He may lead you to do something that may look like you're losing or giving up something, but in the end, it's for our good or someone else's good. You see? So I think sometimes we have to look at life in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, it's about fellowship with Him. Now, Galatians 5:25, you're in that chapter, just go down to verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also let that word is a big word, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then the New Living Translation of that verse, it says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So we're going to have to, walking in the Spirit, living a life being led by the Spirit of God, or we could say life in the Spirit, is about letting him lead. That's what this says. Following, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every area of our life. Every area. That means in our time with him. That means, you know, walking. What does it say? We're to walk by faith and not by sight. So, as we shared, we've been delivered from what? The power of darkness. And now we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So what did Jesus say? Somebody help me. I don't remember that particular verse. I think it's in the Gospels. He said, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. Yeah, it's within us. The kingdom of God now is within us. And so we need to live, when we say walk in the Spirit or life in the Spirit, it's living kingdom life out of where? It's in us. So the kingdom of God is in us. We need to be living the life of the kingdom out of our spirit, man, out of our spirit. And it needs to be developed. And as we do, we're going to miss it less and less. We are going to be more connected to God and his ways and his purpose more than we've ever been before. We're going to miss it less and less. You know how the world just bumps around because they can't see. Well, we see. We know him. We see him. That's what John says. Listen to John. This is John. Now, why don't we go over there? John 10. Verse 14, you know, we always read John 10:10. Thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But, verse 14, I'm going to read it in the Passion. You can read along. But it says, I alone am what? The good shepherd. And this in the Passion says, I know those whose hearts are mine. Say hearts. Hearts are mine. And it says, for they recognize me and know me. So first thing, part of walking in the Spirit is we need to not say, I don't know him. Because he said, you do know me. He knows those whose hearts are his. And it says, you recognize him and you know him. And that's the first step. If you're not sure about the leadings of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, the first part is changing our affirmations, our confession, and say, I know the Lord. He leads me. He guides me into all truth. I know him. I see him. He's more real to me than the surroundings that I have here. He leads me. He guides me. And the more you say that, it begins to release faith and it gives God something to work with. You will become more aware of him. You'll become more aware of his presence. You'll become more aware of his leadings. You'll be more aware when he speaks to you. And as you do, then it's what? Let me then yield fully to him. And as you do, as you obey, it'll become easier. He may ask you to do something. You go, ah, I like that. That's scary stuff. But you have to do what? You have to yield. You have to yield to him. You know, I think about sometimes Pastor Enrique and his wife and family, only use him as an example, but he was married by the Utterbachs right a little after 2000, somewhere around there, around 2000, 2001. And they agreed to marry him if he went back to Mexico and got all his things straightened out. because he had come to the United States when he was very, very young, around 11. His father was murdered in Mexico. His mother died in childbirth, so he didn't have anybody. He had some family, you know, distant relatives and so forth in Mexico, and his sister lived in Queens. And she said, "You want to come to the States?" What is an 11-year-old going to say? Absolutely, sure. So he came to the States. He's a young child. He's not legal in the sense. And so he's here 10 years. He's going through school. He's in college. He meets his current wife, and they want to get married. And her family and she were coming to Redeeming Love. He started coming, and so they wanted to get married. And that's how that all worked. And so, you know, at that time, Pastor Sarah and Clinton said, "Okay, we'll marry you. Just go back, get your stuff straightened out, and then come back." Well, he stayed in Mexico another 18 years. He was connected with Pastor Tim Rogers. He went through a Rhema Training Center in Mexico City. He became involved. All their family, well, he and Yessi did. And he became an instructor at Rhema and actually began to teach and train the instructors, and he was part of they've got about 6 campuses now throughout Mexico. And so he said, I'm telling you all that, give you a little backstory. He said, "I didn't want to go back to Mexico when I left the United States. I didn't want to go back, but I went back." And now he's in Mexico 18 years. He's like, "Man, I like my life. I love it here. I'm back. I'm here." And he said, "I'm having a taco. I'm eating somewhere. I'm eating a taco." And the Holy Spirit said, "It's over." And he said, "I'm crying." And he said, "And my tears are running down my face." I knew what he meant. "It's it. You got to. It's done." He said, "It's over. You got to move back." So he went home. He told his wife and children, "We're moving back to the States." That's a big deal. He said, "I didn't want to come. My life was good. I was now the senior pastor at the church and involved in the training center. My life was good. Busy, but I didn't want to move back to the States." He did. He moved back, sold everything. Moved back to the States, moved in with his in-laws. They were living in one room in their house. And I said, "You know what? That's being yielded. That's one, you heard his voice, you knew him, you know him, you recognize him, you know him, but then it's being yielded. That's not comfortable when you're telling your family, 'We're moving. We're going back.'" And so, you know, I say all of that in being yielded. Sometimes he may ask us to do some things, not necessarily for our benefit, but for people. For people. To go sacrifice your time, your wherewithal, to go reach people, because he knows, "I've anointed you, I've gifted you, I've trained you, I've developed you." See, the more we get developed, see, this is not a reason to back off. This is a reason to learn how to walk in the Spirit so I can be used by God, right? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, has to be done by faith. So you can't get away from this, because if you go, "I don't know, the more I get developed, the more he's going to ask me to do stuff, so I just won't." Well, guess what? That's not faith, and that's not pleasing. So we have to develop our spirit, number one, to hear him, walk by faith, follow him, and as he develops us, what? How would you like, how many have children in here? How would you like it if your children go, "I don't want to leave home"? and they're 35, guess what? You'd say, here's the door. It was nice having you. Grow up, right? Most of us would. Now, I'm not talking about an emergency. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a child that don't want to grow up and wants to mooch. I'm telling you right now, anybody in here with a right mind would say, grow up, get a job, and get out and get your own apartment or house or whatever. Grow up. See, natural things are just like spiritual things. God at some point is going to require us to grow up spiritually. And growing up spiritually is living the life of walking in the Spirit, life in the Spirit. That is growing up. Because as you grow up, you become aware, more aware, and what? The desire is that you yield to Him. You yield to Him so He can use you to reach people and be a blessing. That's really it in a nutshell, if you only really get down to it. It's growing up spiritually, living a life in the Spirit, and then as we grow, He's going to ask us to do more and more for Him. Make more sacrifices. Didn't Paul make sacrifices? Oh my God. Paul, he said, Paul, go do this. Go do that. I mean, he suffered things for the gospel. Now that's not a reason not to follow Him. But now, yes, God did show him, what did it say? He showed him the things that he was going to have to endure. But I think about people that have sacrificed for the gospel and the rewards that are there. So I just share that for us, let's continue. I don't want to get sidetracked on this, but this area here. But let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2 and 6, verses 6 through 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And we want to look at this because this begins to identify, it talks about us as believers. But here, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It says, for He raised us from the dead. Say, I've been raised from the dead. That's what we were singing this morning. I've been raised from death to life. I've gone from death to life. So He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So we are now seated with Him in heavenly places. And it says, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So I'm gonna go on to share what that means. Verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8, God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Now I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs out of this book by John Macmillan. This was on page 9 in this book. So if you're referencing, get the book, you'll know if you go back and listen. But it's page 9 from this book. It's referenced the location of authority. Now remember, this is written in 1932. That's why Revelation It don't matter when it was written. It's amazing. But listen to what he says. The location of authority. The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which is his. They are made to sit with him. That is, they share his throne. Ooh. We share his throne. And it goes on. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. So we partake of his authority. He's given us the name of Jesus. Isn't that the Great Commission? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all men, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. In what? In the name of Jesus. So we are sharers of his authority because we are seated with him in heavenly places with Christ. And it goes on. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise, listen, to the extent of their spiritual apprehension. That's why apprehension is important, because you will not exercise your spiritual authority to the degree of your apprehension. And it says, to the extent of their spiritual apprehension, authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. And so all of these manipulations of mankind, that's what we see whenever we see things going on. And I'm going to extend this a little more, because what the devil does not want is unity in the church. He does not want unity of purpose. He does not want unity where God's plan and purpose is concerned. What's his plan and purpose? The Great Commission, that we go out and reach people. And the devil has manipulated minds of people. That's why when our soul is developed so much that we look at the circumstances and talk about the circumstances, then we're not really dealing with the one that's manipulating the circumstances. And we are seated with him and sharers of his authority. That means that gives us the right to say, no, you don't. You come down now in Jesus' name and you cease from manipulating these people's minds. Now, I don't have control over an individual's mind, neither does God, but he has authority over the devil. He's been stripped of his power. And we have dominion and authority with Christ and in Christ. That means I can speak to the one that's manipulating someone's mind and say, you cease to do that. And then that person then goes, what happened? They can make a choice free of that. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm just sharing that as we develop our spirit, we're going to become more aware of or apprehend more of the authority that we have and not tolerate the division in the body of Christ, not tolerate the manipulations of the devil. We won't tolerate it. Because why? We'll have the mind of Christ. We will have his heart, his compassion for people. And that they're blinded. What is 2 Corinthians 4:4? He said, Satan is the god of this world. And he said, he blinds the minds of them that are what? Lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. See, so when the devil blinds, it hinders the light of the glorious gospel. So we should be going, no, you don't. You don't blind them anymore. You don't blind those that are in authority. I don't care where it is, whether it's local, state, or federal, because it's creating division. It's creating division in the church. It's creating division among people, and that's what the devil wants. He wants to divide people. And the minute we see division, we need to say, no, I've got authority in Christ to come against it. And that's what the devil does not want. He does not want a unified church standing up and commanding him to cease. He wants to divide people so that they don't have unified purpose of speech and of intent, and that they don't know who they are in Christ. See, they begin to take sides. I'm this political party, or this political party, or this race, or this race. And he gets people bickering and divided, as opposed to, you are a spirit and you are in him now. You're in Christ. See? And this really, you know, I'm seeing this more clearly going back, reading this, and reading what this man wrote. Brother Hagin referenced him. He referenced him because he said this book was written in the 30s, 32. So yes, Brother Hagin wrote a book called The Authority of the Believer. Good book, but it does not go into the depth that this does. It's written a little differently. So let's continue. Let's go back here. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's look at verses 9, 10, and 11. I hope this is helping you a little bit, or getting you to think about who you are, and that you are seated with Christ on his throne. You are a sharer of his throne. You are a sharer of his authority. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, 10, and 11. And this I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Says, I was chosen. Now this is Paul speaking, and I'm reading it more from in a more modern English translation, so it translates a little differently. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Verse 10, listen to this. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Verse 11, this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He wants to work through us his wisdom, his authority, his power to all the unseen, as it said, unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Because they're the ones, see, remember, Adam fell. And so now Satan and his followers are the God of this world. They now have the right to be here. They've been stripped of their power because of Christ, but they have a right to be in the earth, and they have a right to do what they're doing, which is deceive mankind. And we now, this was the plan of God, that we are now raised with Christ to be seated with him in heavenly places and to share his authority to come against these unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places, which are manipulating the minds of people and creating circumstances in this earth that are causing people to just go nuts. See, but the plan of God was that through Christ, his body would be filled with his spirit, and we would do exploits here in the earth. In other words, we would begin to enforce, another word to say, you could say, we are here to enforce that which was done through Christ. Not just go through life and enjoy. That's wonderful. We enjoy life. We enjoy the blessings of God. But there's more than just that. We can still enjoy the blessings of God, but we are to do what? Walk in the Spirit and to take authority and dominion over the things that are going on in our realm of life. In other words, where we are, the people we interact with, the places we live. We are to walk in the Spirit and do what? Take authority over those things. Because I can tell you, that's what's happening. In this area, I know when I was standing up on this stage, this is 20 some years ago, I was standing on this stage, I remember, praising the Lord. I was getting ready to share something, and I heard down here, just quietly, I heard the Holy Spirit say, if you will come here and worship me, I will push back the darkness that's held sway in this area. Well, darkness has held sway. Why? People are cold to spiritual things. And all you have to do is go back and read any books on revival, and when darkness was pushed back, bars shut down, theaters shut down. This is back in the 1800s. And men and women ran to churches to be saved. Why? Because the influence of darkness was lifted, and people began to see, oh my God, I need God. But now people are going through life. What do we say? They've embraced a self life, not a God life. They've embraced everything. What is it? It's self, me. I almost laugh. Everybody takes selfies and they post them, right? It's about self, not God. And so there's coming, and as it's been prophesied by many that have gone on to be with the Lord, that after Azusa Street, which was a little after 1900, somewhere in that time frame, 100 years later, there was going to be a great revival, unprecedented. And we're in that season where there's about to be a great awakening. But the church has got to arise and wake up and walk daily in their authority. The walk in it. So let me read here. This is again, a couple of excerpts from this book here. It says, the extent of this authority. He said, John MacMillan writes in this book, The Authority of the Believer, as we meditate on the completeness of his authority, let us remember that he is there as the representative of redeemed humanity. And may the eyes of our understanding be enlightened by the Holy Spirit so that we may believe without any doubt or shrinking that the wisdom and will of the Father have made us sharers of this same authority, and that he verily intends that we should exercise it day by day in growing comprehension and apprehension. So he expects that we walk in this day by day. We wake up, we begin to take and receive and say, I am seated. In other words, what do? It says that we profess a good profession. So we profess who we are. We profess where we're seated. We profess that I have authority in him. I'm a sharer of his authority. Then he goes on a little further on in this book. He said, the failure of the church. He said, why then is there not more manifest progress? You know, if you were a trainer and you were training or you were developing and you're mentoring, at some point you're going to go, where's the progress? You're going to evaluate who? You, as the trainer, as the mentor, as the developer, you're going to go, I don't see the development. What's going on? And so this is what he says. Why then is there not more manifest progress in the church? He said, because a head is wholly dependent upon its body for carrying out its plan. There's the answer. And he says, he goes on and he says, get this tipped up here. All the members of the body, of its body, must be subservient that through their coordinated ministry may be accomplished what is purposed. The Lord Jesus, this is in Ephesians chapter 1, head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's verse 22 and 23. Is hindered in his mighty plans and workings because his body has failed to appreciate the deep meaning of his exaltation and to respond, yielding, responding to the gracious impulses which he is constantly sending for our quickening. So it's two things: failing to recognize what actually took place, that not only is he seated there, but so am I, but also not yielding to his impulses, his nudgings. He wants to do what? Lead us and guide us. This is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is knowing who you are, knowing that you have authority, but then what? You're to carry out his will. You are to be aware of him and his leadings. Because for us to say I have the mind of Christ, then that means I'm aware and I'm being led by him. I'm thinking his thoughts, right? So he goes on. He said here, the word of God is the pattern by which the ministry of the church is framed. The glory of the body of Christ is the fact that its members are living members, each with a personal will. See, we all have our own will. But then he continues. He said, the Holy Spirit comes into these individual members in order to bring them into unity with the will and purposes of the head. See, we all have our own personal will, but the Holy Spirit comes into us to do what? To bring unity with the head. What his will and purpose is. It said, but this is not done through inward impulses alone. Inward impulse inaugurates obedience towards the head. But the renewed mind cannot be fully instructed except through the Word of God. So the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit go hand in hand. And he has come to do what? Bring us into unity with his will and purpose. Now there's an overall will and purpose, but then there may be things that he wills to do through each of us in the respective areas that we live and we function. So this area, I'm telling you, in this Pennsylvania area, that's why I'm excited about having prayer time in the morning here, because having prayer time, praying in the Spirit, praying for God to move, it now you are what? Listening. You're praying, you're listening. You can become more aware of his presence and his leadings, and you begin to pray out the plan and purpose of God in this area. So it's an exciting time, isn't it? It's an exciting time. So I'm not going to go on anymore because there's so much to cover. You know, life in the Spirit. Well, let me just, I'll finish with this because there's so much, but let's look at Romans chapter 8. I'll just finish with this. Romans chapter 8 and verses 4 through 10. And I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. See, the devil, he just trying to stir up disharmony and disunity. And if we'd ever get that, you know, that we're going to purpose to walk in love, we're going to purpose to let God work through us and pray and find ways that we can connect with our brothers and sisters. And if we get into areas where there's not agreement, put that aside. Just put it aside. Put it aside. Pray for each other. But the scripture says we're to provoke one another to love and good works. So Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 4, Passion Translation. It says, So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One, living his life in us. And we are free to live not according to the flesh or our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan. You see, this is the problem. That when we are self-life, self-motivated, it fights God's plan and purpose. And I'll go on. It says, and refuses to submit to his direction because it can't. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, see, life in the Spirit is being empowered by Him. And this says, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of Him. Now Christ lives His life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, His life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. So I'm going to close there, but life in the Spirit is, and walking in the Spirit will empower us by His Spirit to help us follow Him and not follow the passions of the flesh or the dictates of the flesh, or the King James says, we won't be carnally minded, right? We'll be spiritually minded. We will be empowered, not in our own ability, but He will empower us by His Spirit to pursue spiritual things. And those spiritual things, part of those spiritual things is having a greater comprehension and apprehension of who you are, and that you're seated with Him far above. That's what the King James says. Far above principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. And we will then take the authority that's given to us and walk in it. We'll walk in it. See? And then he gets over into this book in other areas. He said, when the devil finds that he's now being contested and kicked out, he comes with pride. Look what I did. And he said it can mess things up. So he said we need to be persons that are humble and have humility and not pride, because it wasn't in your own ability anyways. And he said what happens is a lot of times when the devil sees that he's getting kicked out and there that the church is walking in its authority, he comes another way. He gets people to think pridefully. Look what we did. Look what we built. No, we need to be humble. Because it was a gift from God. This salvation was a gift. It was not of our own doing. We were made to be seated with Him, and we are part of Him now. It's His authority. It's His name. It's His power that we're exercising, not ours. So I hope this helps a little bit, because it's I don't want to say it's not for the faint of heart, but when you walk in this authority, you know, you're going to look at things. It's just like, what did Jesus do with Peter? He said, what did Peter say? Lord, if that be you, bid me come. He said, come. And he got out of the boat and he's like, and he began to look at the circumstances. So a lot of times, God may say to us, come. And we're going to walk. We may walk through something where fear may try to grip you, and where the devil says, you ain't going to make it. And we began to exercise authority. Don't walk in fear. Don't yield to fear thoughts. Don't yield to fear. Because that's his weapon also. And so I tell you, this area is, I claim this area for God, and that the devil's power is broken over this area, and the rulers of darkness that's held sway over this area are being removed and pushed back. And the people in this area are going to see the light. Oh, yes. You know, you ever think about it, you know, people, I was not in this book, but he's a minister or the director of the schools in Kenya, the Rhema schools in Kenya. And his wife was posting a picture. They had an alumni gathering of former graduates of Rhema, Kenya. Now they have some schools in Nairobi, Mombasa, Kisumu. They have some other schools near Lake Victoria, which is Kisumu, and they have some other schools. And he said, when they first went to Kenya, this is over 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, he said, those students that came, most of them walked, rode a bicycle, or took some kind of public transportation. He said, today, they're all driving nice cars. And she had a picture of it. They were all lined up, nice cars. They're blessed. They're prosperous. They're walking in the light of the gospel. Now, that's wonderful that we walk in these blessings, but it's more than that. It's more than that. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I've been assigned to share this revelation, this truth that's been held a mystery for all these ages, that you've been raised and seated with him in heavenly places, and you are a sharer of his authority. See, that we can go out and share this with others, that break the power of the devil that's held grip over people's lives to live beneath their privileges. See, so they walk through life defeated. They walk through life beat up. They walk through life just in, you know, just in fear, right? But they don't know that it's been defeated. They don't know that they can live above it. And that's what we do. As we grow, as we apprehend, we are sharers of not only his authority, but sharers of the gospel to help people. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for letting us, the privilege of letting us be your helpers, to be your disciples. And we thank you that we are seated now in heavenly places with Christ, and we are sharers of your authority. And Father, we take that authority, and we thank you that we walk through life exercising it, and taking authority over the darkness that's held sway, not only in this area, but our country. And Satan, we put you on notice in this Pennsylvania Pocono area. And we command you to cease from blinding the minds and hearts of people in this area. And we command you to desist in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for those that will go forth and be a light in this community, and be a help and an assistance to people in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.